following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Everyone to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth has us on the road again today over at Grand Island's favorite sports bar, Bandits, where you can come in. And today it is so busy with the U.S. Open currently on. We've got radio coverage right after the Doug and Daddy Show, but you can come in over your lunch hour and check out the U.S. Open. The World Cup soccer gets going today. We know that is really big in certain areas of Nebraska. I know Grand Island has a real big soccer fan base, as they do in Kearney. So if you want to watch Brazil and Croatia this afternoon at 3, that's there for you. And of course, we also have the NBA Finals game 4 tonight. So whether you come in over the lunch hour this afternoon to enjoy a cool one or to just enjoy a good evening or a little after work, the place to be is, of course, Bandits here in Grand Island, and we will be here for the next hour. Also, let's check that leaderboard. Brant Snedeker got out to such a good start today at the U.S. Open. He had a short birdie putt on the ninth to get to 5 under. He missed it, and now things have turned back. He has slid all the way back to 1 under, so 2 under par leads it. You're starting to see that morning wave finish up, and then the afternoon wave starting to tee off. Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, Graham McDowell, and Kevin Na are all at 2 under par, and nobody has more than four holes to play as Mickelson is on 15. Matt Fitzpatrick, the amateur, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler are among those that are at 1 under par so far today at the U.S. Open. We always like to take a look at the guys that didn't get off to a good start today. There's always a name or two that you didn't expect, but most of the good golfers, most of the top golfers in the world have got off to good starts today. Angel Cabrera, who's won this tournament before, is 4 over through 15 holes today. Kenny Perry off the Champions Tour, he is 3 over through 13. Boo Weekly, and he's 2 over. Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, both 3 over par today at the U.S. Open. So, as usual, no one's going real deep, and no one has really blown up. So, you've got really everybody within 5 shots of each other in that morning session from 3 over to 2 under par. Well, today here at Bandits, we have got a full guest list, and let's start by telling you that Kyle Peterson, ESPN analyst, will be joining us to talk College World Series. We're going to be talking with Ray Maxwell from the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association, because here in Grand Island Saturday, it's their big day. The All-Star Duels are going on at 1 o'clock at Senior High, then their Hall of Fame banquet and induction ceremonies at the Heartland Event Center at 5 o'clock. It's the final regular season game for the Nebraska Danger. We are scheduled to be joined by head coach Mike Davis and the Anderson boys. There's so many of them. Wayne Anderson is going to join us, but Steve Anderson has stepped in to be a co-host again today here in GI. Fresh from a little vacay and down at Tampa Bay Downs, First, good morning, Steve. Thanks for coming in again.
I'll tell you what, I'm impressed, and I'm also humbled by the lineup of activities and guests you have this morning. You needed a mighty big shoehorn to nuzzle me into part of the broadcast desk over here at Bandits this morning. I will tell you this. None of the Andersons at the racetrack are related to my knowledge, which is the good news. The bad news is, as most of us try to pass along some worldly advice about picking winners, so at any one time, we might be the most hated group of people at the racetrack, especially when we're on a cold, sour streak.
Well, I'm going to have Wayne has joined us here live at Bandits. We're going to have him slide the headset on as well, because there'll be a couple minutes here where we're going to ask Wayne the same question that I'm going to ask you, and we're not going to delve into 30 minutes of horse racing this week, because we've talked so much about it over the last 6 weeks. But I do want to get your thoughts. I had the same, I'm guessing, feeling that you did, that kind of empty pit in your stomach about 5 seconds after the Belmont Stakes last week, that California Chrome didn't win it. In this particular instance, I didn't have an investment in it, and I wouldn't have cashed a ticket anyway with Commissioner coming in, and I think that's the horse that really messed it up for a lot of people. Gino from TVG basically had the rest of it. He had Tonalist up there. Some people were on Tonalist, some were not. But your thoughts about the race, first of all.
Well, first and foremost, the only good advice I gave you from Tampa Bay and back here as well a couple weeks ago was that I thought the jockey Joel Rosario was the key, and he was. He went to the right horse. He got off of Ride on Curlin, got on Tonalist, and the rest is history. I also told you several weeks ago, I've taken a back burner approach to this race anymore, because I just refuse to let two things really upset me anymore. Nebraska football losing and a Triple Crown winner also going up in flames in the third leg of that particular event. Now, I've held stuck to my guns on the Nebraska part. I think clear back to about 1976, 77, I was working at NTV in those years, and I remember it was one of the few trips I didn't get to make. Nebraska went down to Norman, Oklahoma, and they get beat 44-0. I was really upset that day. I had two little kids at the time living in Minden, and I ruined the rest of the weekend and part of the following week for anybody that was near at hand. As far as horse racing goes, though, I don't know how many times we have to see this situation come up and, again, walk away so disappointed. But that's what horse racing is in a nutshell. And quite frankly, that's why they run the races, Wayne, because if there's one thing, if you even follow racing on a very minimal basis, Doug, there is no such thing as a sure thing. That's mm-hmm. why they run the races. Yay,
that's
Mr.
Right.
Anderson?
That's right. So many times I've been on the best horse, or you've seen the best horse, and he doesn't win. It's just a matter of circumstances. And because a lot of it is, 90% they say is the horse, but, that 10% of that guy on his back makes a difference too sometimes.
Well, you can give me the inside. You guys are going to be more professional on this than me. I thought the horse ran a good race, and I haven't heard anybody say that it wasn't jockeyed well or that they really took the wrong route. But California's Chrome, they had the rail, but Chrome's head kept wanting to go outside. You rewatch the race, and I was seeing that live. He wanted to go outside. His head's turned to the right. He wants to go to the outside. Wayne, what do you do in a situation like that? The rail's there, but you're used to going outside. You got to do what you've been trained to do, don't you?
Yeah, right. And I don't know if it was his instructions. Everything had worked so clear in both the Derby and the Preakness of taking back, letting the speed go, swinging out, being clear.
Ultimately, he got to that particular juncture at the top of the turn.
But late and way wide. And it just takes too much out of you. He was maneuvering that horse. That horse was never comfortable in my mind in that where he was at. And I know Jerry Bailey stuck up for him and everything. But when I was watching the race and my wife and I were sitting there going in the first turn, I told her, I've got a bad feeling. I don't like this. I said, I've rode a lot of marathon races. We used to have the 270 in Omaha. If you can be on the lead easy, which he could have been, 48 and change, and that been on the fence, nobody in front of him, he'd have dictated the pace And I don't know how much the when he grabbed his quarter, how much that might have come into play. But when you can be on the lead and set those kind of paces and dictate it yourself, that's where I'd have been.
Yeah, well, Randy Moss from NBC was highly critical of Victor Espinosa's ride immediately after they crossed the finish line. And surprisingly, 2 days later, Andrew Beyer jumps on the bandwagon and said the exact same thing, that Espinosa needed to go to the front and then angle over and get to the outside of the track wherever this horse wanted to be. But it's so easy to second guess, your hindsight's always 20/20. But this horse had never been on the Belmont racetrack, and all the variables that come into play, Doug, on how to win a horse race, he may just not liked that big sandy surface. How would you ever know? But he was not the same horse last Saturday.
I think the big thing is we'll all be interested to watch him when he runs his next race.
Well, I can't wait until this fall when we get to the Breeders' Cup and bring some of the heavy hitters all together. And Doug Duda with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve Anderson, Wayne Anderson with me at this moment. And don't forget, lunch specials every day at Bandits, including a big, giant slice of Saks pizza and a soft drink for $4.99. And here's the deal. If you get two giant slices and two sodas, $9.98. So you got that deal going here as well. But here's the big question, guys, and then we'll move on from the Belmont. It's one of those almost taboo things to talk about. It's been talked about behind the curtains, back in the paddock. Should they change the way that they run the Triple Crown? Obviously, Mr. Coburn came out. I understand where he's at. He came out at the wrong time. He apologized since. But the bottom line is, and I will be shocked if either one of you tell me that you want to change it, because veterans like it the way it is. Just because it's been 36 years and now 37, you're not going to want to change it. But should it be tweaked? Should something be done? Will something ever be done?
I can't answer the last part of that question, because in this day and age, change seems to be a virtue, seems to be the popular thing to do. I'm a purist in that regard. And for maybe one of the few times, I'll be in Wayne Anderson's camp and call myself and my philosophy old school. That's why it takes a great horse to win these three tremendous races over a five-week period. Shame on them if they ever decide to tweak it. It's right where it needs to be. Wayne?
I agree. I mean, this is, and especially the part where the horses that run the Derby should run. That's wrong. I mean, this horse that won it had a lung infection. You're going to tell me he's supposed to skip going for $1.5 million just because he couldn't run in the Derby? That's wrong. I mean, when you run in these stake races and you look at nominations, the nominations aren't the same one race after the other and stuff. So, yeah, I'm right. Everything should stay just the way it is as far as I'm concerned.
Steve, we've had Wayne Anderson on the program before, and it's always basically talk about Fawner. And if you go to Fawner and you're looking at the program, it's obviously a recognizable name. But you can kind of run down the bio here a little bit better than I can, because I know his family has been in horse racing from dad in the Kentucky Derby to sons racing now. But give us the bio here on Wayne, because we got a couple questions for him.
Yeah, well, he's the second of three generations of race riders. I mean, these guys are little evil Knievels, it's hard to picture him being that way in the latter stages of what's been really an unbelievable life. But at any rate, Wayne is the assistant racing secretary and head of the stakes coordinator out of Fawner Park. He is the racing secretary in Omaha at Horseman's Park for their one weekend meet, and at Columbus coming up here in August and early September. His boys both graduated from Centura. Mark and Chad both were successful race riders, both retired, now still in the game. But the neat thing that I found out about Wayne early on when I met him was his connection to his father, who I had met a time or two. He was also a Nebraska racing official, and that was that Irv rode in the Kentucky Derby on Bull Lee, I think, to begin that part of your story back in 1933. So there's a rich heritage as far as thoroughbred horse racing is concerned, with deep roots here in Nebraska. I can only just take a deep bow every time I see Wayne Anderson. He's been a real delight and a great acquaintance over the years.
Wayne, so everybody knows, you've been around racing since the day that you put on and rode your first stick horse, probably somewhere around. But so let me ask you the obvious question. Steve, every time we chat, is going to give me the Chamber of Commerce answer from Fauner Park. It's beautiful unless it's cold, and we need to do some things to keep horse racing going. I would like your opinion on where the state of horse racing is in Nebraska and specifically at Fauner Park.
You're right. Well, Fauner Park, you know, year after year, they're just they keep getting better. I mean, the crowds were really good this year. Everything was up and stuff. But the racing does need help. I mean, this Amendment 1 that's coming up, we definitely need help. But people just need to realize that, you know, how big of an industry that we are. You know, we aren't just, they walk out there, they bet on some horses, they either make a couple dollars or lose, and that's it. But, I mean, there's so many people involved that have been here. This is my, I turned 67. I started the racetrack when I was 16. So 51 years I've been in the same job, let's say. There's not many other people can say they've stayed at the same job for that many years, and I plan on staying here. I mean, I had chances to leave Nebraska. When I was riding, I had a heck of an offer to stay in Chicago, move to Chicago. The money was there. It was a lot more. But I didn't want to leave the state of Nebraska. I was raising the kids. My wife was mainly home raising them and stuff. But Nebraska is such a great place to be, and the racing here, if the people knew on the backside and got to see the deal, they'd see how great it really is. Now, it's just something else.
I know, without getting too deep into this, there was always the mystery of what happened back in the day. It's so much more regulated, and everything is so much more visible, and we can bet online, we can watch online, we can do so many things out there. So horse racing has definitely changed. And we have had the go-round, and we've had a variety of people, and I think even asked you the last time you were on. The legislature is back and forth. We've been a vote shy of a variety of different gaming that could help horse racing. Well, what's it going to take to get over that hump to bring these so-called machines into Fauner Park, Horseman's Park, Columbus, and a variety of those places?
Well, we finally need the public support this fall. That's it. I mean, we need to get it out. We need the public support. I know we'll be fighting the Gambling for the Good Life and Across the River and everything, but we need the people to realize what it will do for the state and everything. So, you know, it's just I could go on and on, you know, on the pluses and the minuses, but if they just realize what it would do and the money that it's going to bring into the state, because once you start raising purses, now we have more horses being bred in the state, we have more farms setting up, we have more owners, we have more money going to those owners, and we don't just go, you know, when you go to a casino, you spend all your money right there. It all goes to Harris or whatever. Yeah. Now, if you go in and do the same thing here, that's going into the purses. Now, that's going to the owners, the trainers, the grooms. And we're here for this many months out of the year and stuff. And so that's all getting spent right here in the state. It isn't going to Harris. It's going back into the city and the state.
I always said that the kids in Iowa should be very well educated with the books that I have bought them. Wayne Anderson is with us for another minute here. His life, an interesting quote yesterday. We had Aurora's wrestling coach, Bill Wolford, on, and he said, this is my 40th year of either wrestling or coaching or wrestling in college, and he's going into the High School Wrestling Hall of Fame on Saturday. And he talked about what the sport of wrestling gave him, and it's easy to see what the sport of horse racing has given you. Give me a couple. You've been so many places and been in so many different jobs. Give me a couple of highlights. When I say, you know, what pops out? Because usually there's one or two that come right to the forefront.
Well, right. Racing at Omaha, you know, winning any kind of a race at Omaha. But I love the 2-mile and 70-yard races. I rode my favorite horse. He wasn't a stake horse. It was a horse called Real Style. Won and set a track record. But he was such – I could go on and on about him because he is such a story. I won a marathon series on him at Sportsman's Park. I used to go back to Chicago. I hated it back there. I was in Cicero, but it was still great racing. Always had good luck back there. But my biggest thrills, I'm going to tell you this, was winning a race for the little guy. The trainers that didn't hardly win and stuff. And when you won a race for them, they were so grateful. And they'd always want to come up. The big stables back in those days, you know, the purses were like $1,000, $900. But if you want to race for a little stable, the first thing they want to do is come up and stake you for that win. I mean, it's just they were so grateful. And it was always such a great feeling and stuff to do that.
Wayne, and we can bring up Steve Jeff Apel's name here. He's one of the guys that have – Apel's Aces worked at the Independent. If you've been around here for any amount of time, you know about Jeffrey. But, Wayne, it seems to me it's hard to get into the game unless you have an in. Maybe you've met a friend, and he's in the horse racing business, and so you get a stake in a horse. It seems like it's not easy to get into horse racing, and it takes a lot of knowledge and backing. And so how does someone get interested in horse racing besides just laying down the $2 win play show ticket?
Right. It is. It's, you know, you've got to know the trainers and stuff, get one that, you know, that you're comfortable with. And it's an expensive for the owners, especially in Nebraska, like I said, with our purse schedule. It's expensive because even though we aren't running for the big purses, the expenses for the trainers are the same as if you're at Belmont and over at Prairie Meadows. I mean, so that's what's the toughest part. But you can, it's easier than you think. I mean, to kind of, you know, you talk to a trainer, they say, I'm interested in getting a horse. Could you look for one for me and stuff? Come in, set up, and get your if you want an open claim, whatever, get your owner's license and stuff. And as long as you're comfortable with a trainer, and it's the best to go out and kind of visit and say, well, you know, who do you think would be the best for me if I have a one-horse stable? Or if you can get a group together, that's a lot. And you wouldn't believe the thrill that people have actually watching their horse run for the first time. And, I mean, it's just the thrill to watch him. Then when he wins, that winner's circle, I've seen people come up and, you know, they'll buy a picture.
Yeah,
and stuff,
yeah.
And I've seen them come on. Oh, we need 25 pictures. You know, they're just so excited. That's how excited that you get.
It is a feeling that's undescribable. And I, at my age, I think I've experienced everything. But if you've never been a part owner in a racehorse, I put it up there with the birth of both of my kids being married for the first and second time, and it's euphoric. We won a race, and the only horse that I've ever had my own money involved in with Max Mader, a local guy here in town. We were partners on a horse that broke her maiden at Exarban in the early 90s, and I want to tell you what, the race down to the winner's circle is something I'll never, ever forget in my life. I know Exarban's just a name to you, Doug, but what a venue, and still to this day, what a shame that it's no longer down there on 72nd and Mercy Road. It's just unbelievable. But those experiences, you know, that's what made this Kentucky Derby win this year with, you know, the people that brought this no-name horse in from California so special, because you can get lucky. You don't have to put and invest millions of dollars in. You can put just thousands of dollars. The odds are terribly against you. But even so, for the people with money, and when these things come to fruition, that's what makes racing so neat. You know, they try to put the last nail in the coffin about thoroughbred horse racing dying. But boy, I'll tell you what, this story coming into the Belmont on California Chrome, I don't know how you could top it other than putting it together and winning the Triple Crown, because the industry accomplished what they needed across the board. Everybody in North America was talking about the Belmont race, all the talk shows, you know, Kimmel and yeah. Fallon and people that had nothing to do with sports. They were all focused on this race. The buildup going into the Belmont was second to nothing I've ever seen as far as horse racing is concerned.
Right. It was.
Well, Wayne, thank you so much for coming down and chatting. We invite you to stay with us unless you got a tea time over at Centura.
No, not today.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Andy from Midway is going to join us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. When we come back, Kyle Peterson from ESPN to talk about the College World Series. Plus, we're going to talk about the All-Star Wrestling Duel, Nebraska Danger Football. We're here at Bandits, and don't forget, tonight, Wing Night, 10 different styles, including Buffalo, Sparkies, and Bandits Camo, bone-in, boneless, however you like them. It's Wing Night tonight, and we're here doing the Doug and Daddy Show at Bandits with the U.S. Open, World Cup Soccer, NBA, and NHL. It's a busy time, and we will talk more about it here in just a second.
Andy from Midway slides in with us here during the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Andy, earlier this week, and you're always trying to move product, but earlier this week we were talking about it's time to plan the family vacation. It's time to get your vehicle ready to go. Maybe you need new tires. Maybe you need a service job. And maybe you've decided this is the time. I'm taking the family truckster and we're going cross country or wherever you're going, Disney World, Cubs baseball, just to Kansas City. You've got them covered, whatever they need. If they need something new, they need something pre-owned, or if they just need to fix up what they have.
Yeah, maybe we're just going to Gibbon. I don't know.
Hey, yeah.
We'll go there. Party there. Cambridge. I don't know. We'll throw out any more small communities.
Hey, they've all got golf courses.
Aurora, Nebraska.
Oh, baby. We talked with Coach Wolford yesterday. Going into the Hall of Fame. What do you think about that?
I didn't know Bill was going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Wrestling Hall of Fame, man. Saturday, Grand Island. Be there.
Graduated with his daughter, Kylie, and Tyler was about the same age as Katie and Levi, and Abby was about the same age as Kendall. And we, from about age 3 or 4, we all went to the same church, and just a great guy. He was very good at motivating and making sure those kids did what they were supposed to do.
Did he mold you a little?
I was a basketball player. He was always.
Even in the hallway?
You know what? Seventh grade, I went out for wrestling. I was at a triangular with Central Catholic in Northwest, and some kid picked me up and body slammed me and broke my arm in half.
Ooh.
In seventh grade. And you know what's weird? I never wrestled again.
Well, boy, great that we brought that story. let's talk about what you're doing, though, for the folks of Central Nebraska.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of great things going on up there at Midway Chevrolet right now. And it doesn't just start with the Chevrolet product. We've got a great selection of brand-new Cadillacs, great selection of brand-new Buicks. And when you're talking about the Chevrolets, one of the big things that people are going to be talking about is the 2014 Silverados. They are really starting to get aggressive on these vehicles, putting that extra juice out there, making sure that these vehicles are going to be priced really effectively in the marketplace. And when you have over 70 of them in stock and in transit, what that does is it really gives your customers that peace of mind, because they can go ahead, come in and say, you know what, I don't want to choose between those five. I'd like to be able to sit there and pick out five out of your 70 and then kind of narrow it down from there. Here's a little bit of information too. If you've just been sitting there kind of on the sideline, which a lot of people have, and they've been saying, I'm going to wait till the new 14 Silverado starts getting those big incentives on it. Because when it came out, we all know, brand new product, completely redesigned. They were very proud of them and they were asking a lot of money. Here's the thing. The production for 2014 is over. They're actually ordering the 2015s right now. So over the next 90 days, maybe even 60 to 90 days is when you're going to see the selection of the 2014s really start to diminish. We've been saying this for the last couple of years. Don't wait until October, November, December to come in and get that red tag sale on your 14, whatever. It's not like that anymore. I'm telling you right now, when August comes around and it's September 1st, October, I mean, they want them gone. 15s all be on the ground. So make sure you keep that in mind. It is summertime. We're talking about traveling. We're talking about taking trips. We're talking about going ahead. Tahoes, Suburbans, completely redesigned, Enclaves, Traverses, Equinox. Fuel economy, space, size, convenience, comfort, safety. General Motors has got it handled right now. Get up there. Come see Heath Phillips, Darren Sprague, John Rickert, and the gang up there at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac.
Can't do any better than that. You go online as well. ThinkMidway.com in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug and Andy, hey, have a great weekend, all right? Enjoy the College World Series.
Hey, see you, buddy.
And we'll have more about that. We're here at Bandits in Grand Island, and we will return after this.
In 1902, Carrier introduced the world to modern air conditioning. We've been improving on the idea ever since. So if you're getting the idea to upgrade to a more comfortable, more efficient system, think about Carrier. There's no better time than right now. Get cool cash rebates of up to $1,450 on a new home comfort system by Carrier. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Call Anderson Brothers today at 308-236-6437. Or at Holdridge at 995-4481.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle. And so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across Central Nebraska.
Come on in, let the games begin. Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today as we head up to 73 for a high. North winds will meanwhile stay from around 10 to 15. Then with mainly clear skies tonight, we'll head down to 50 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 63.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on here from Bandits, where don't forget, coming up later this month, June 26th, live music. That's a Thursday night. Always nice when it's busy on the weekends. You got a lot of things going on. Just to kind of come in after work maybe, or just to chill out after a softball game, no matter what night it is. But on Thursday the 26th, Evan Scott Trio will be here from 7 to midnight. So come on in and enjoy some music. Mark that down on your calendar for Thursday, June the 26th. For today, come in and enjoy a great lunch. They've got all kinds of great wings, pizza, sub sandwiches, and a whole lot more. You can watch the U.S. Open on the split screen or the one live coverage. They've got later today. Day. Of course, World Cup Soccer, NBA Finals tomorrow. The NHL is back on, so that's all coming up. And, of course, the College World Series. Kyle Peterson is going to join us here in just a second. Before we chat with Kyle, though, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked you, who do you think will win the U.S. Open? Well, we gave you Phil, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Adam Scott. 70% took the field. That's the safe bet. I think, though, of the four, and I know Phil's off to a good start today, but I would take the four over the field. To take one individually, I think I said yesterday I would take Rory, but root for Phil. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But I think if you gave me those four versus the field and some decent odds, I think I'd have to take those four. 20% said Phil, 10% said Rory. Our Midtown Mark cooler question today, who will win the College World Series? We'll make our prediction tomorrow, but it's up there for eight. Jimmy Langan and I kind of talked about it earlier in the week, kind of thought Vanderbilt and Virginia were maybe the favorites in their brackets. I wouldn't be surprised to see Texas win their first two games. It was great to talk with Texas coach Augie Garrido yesterday. So, again, our Midtown Mark cooler question, you can vote on it anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who do you think will win the 2014 College World Series? Our continuing College World Series coverage here on the Doug and Daddy Show catches us up with the number one analyst for the CWS, and proud to call him Nebraska's own, Kyle Peterson, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. And Kyle, good morning. I know it's an extremely busy time of the year for you. Do you get enjoyment out of this time coming home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's nice when the commute to the ballpark's, you know, 18 minutes without traffic and 24 with it. So it's the beauty of living in this area of the country. But, I mean, it's a grind through the season. It's a great grind, but it's a grind through the season. I think we've been on the road for 11 weeks in a row. But this is why you do it. to get to this time, and it's great to have it at home. And I think it's great. It's great given the group of teams that we have coming in.
Give me a story from this 11 weeks on the road that pops right to the forefront of your head, whether it's a baseball game or just something you got to do.
This last weekend was cool. I don't get a chance to Stanford very often, and so I had Stanford at Vanderbilt. And I had a chance to be out in Palo Alto a few weeks ago. Our longtime assistant coach, Dean Stotts, had retired, so I went out for his kind of going away retirement party. So I got a chance to meet a few of the guys when I was out there. But still, to cover the team that you played for and the school that you went to was fun, especially in a setting like Nashville. And it was CMT Country Music Fest. And, I mean, yeah. Nashville's a great city to start, but it was a good weekend to be there. But we got off the air Sunday night at 5:45, and I made a 6:25 flight. And so if there's anything that I'm the proudest of this entire year, not baseball related, because it was the last flight of the night, it was nice to be home that night. So it gives you one more night at home and obviously a little kickstart on preparing this week.
No doubt. Everybody that travels a lot knows what that feels like to make it before the door closes. Even after this amount of time, is there still a emptiness in the pit of your stomach when you see Stanford go down?
Yeah. I mean, I hope that I hide it well. But, you know, I don't think you can ever kind of take away the emotional attachment you have for a team that you played for, a school that you went to. And it was a challenge. The first games I ever broadcast was a Stanford-Long Beach State Super Regional in 03. And I think at the time I probably tried too hard to be unbiased. And maybe in a way was somewhat unfair to Stanford. But I think now, just haven't done it for whatever it is, 12 years. You learn to craft a little bit more, and I think that we can give enough balance. But yeah, in the back of your mind, there's a little different feeling when you see them lose as opposed to anybody else.
Talk with Kyle Peterson, Nebraska native, obviously went to Stanford, and I have to ask you: with the Brewers leading the National League Central, do you still have alliance? Do you still root for them, or not at all?
Yeah, I would say I follow it more than any other big league team, but I don't know if that's saying a whole lot. When we get in the middle of the college season, it's so college, and then I'm in commercial real estate in Omaha, and I've got three kids, so I just don't follow the big leagues nearly as much. You get maybe the All-Star break and college stops, then a little bit more at that point. And the other thing is you know, there's nobody there from a player standpoint, or really from a coach's standpoint, other than Eddie Cedar, our coach's third. That was there when I was there.
Sure.
So there's some removal just because it's been a while, but other just because it's, you know, my focus during the season up until, you know, 2 weeks from now is just college.
Before we get your overall breakdown of the field of eight that's coming to Omaha, let's ask the obligatory question, just your thoughts on where Nebraska's program is and where Coach Service has Creighton at, even though they didn't make the tournament this year after winning the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, start with Nebraska. I think that, you know, quite honestly, I'm sure that those guys would say, you know, they want to still be playing. But I think that the steps that they've made in the 3 years that they've been there have been monumental steps. I mean, there was a lot of things to do from a talent standpoint to a mentality standpoint to going to a new league and you know, the challenges / opportunities that come with being in the Big Ten. But I think that what Darren and Ted and Will have done is pretty darn impressive. And one of the largest things is yes, the talent levels up, but they've got the mentality that you thought they would have. And I think that's key as they move forward. You know, for Ed, it was disappointing in that, you know, you win the first two games of the Big East tournament and then you lose one and you're done. And I understand, I mean, I think it's a TV-related deal to where they want to make sure that they actually get the championship game, but still. Was disappointed just to see the way that ended. And I think that Ed every year is a guy that gets the absolute most out of what he has. Now, they got some guys coming in from a talent level that should bump it up a little bit, kind of some wow factor athlete-type guys. But still, Ed's as consistent as there is. Obviously, defensively, they were right there with everybody and, you know, a win away from being right in the mix again.
Cal Peterson with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio as we get ready for every game of the CWS starting Saturday here on ESPN 1460 and 1550. There was a little bit of nervousness when all of those national seeds went out in the regionals. It seems, though, Kyle, that with TCU getting in and Virginia getting in and Vanderbilt, I mean, you've got five number ones the way it is, a couple of twos, and Irvine probably the biggest surprise as a three. So maybe out of the super regionals, nothing too crazy really happened.
No, I didn't think so. I think the way that the game is set up right now, I mean, it's, you know, you can't just go out and out-talent everybody anymore. The margin of error is so thin, and the difference between who wins and who loses is, I think, is tighter and more dependent upon an individual play or pitch than it has been ever. You know, the last 3 years kind of all fallen under the same umbrella. So with all that, I think that we're less surprised of upsets, just because, you know, with the scholarships, talent's a little bit more spread out, and it's not the biggest and the strongest and the fastest that necessarily wins anymore. So, I mean, to me, I was more surprised that Irvine got through Oregon State and through that regional. Anything can happen in a three-game series, especially when you have two really good starters, and that's what Irvine will show you. I mean, they're really going to pitch, but Surrey and Morales are outstanding. Not huge power guys, but are just really good college pitchers in a tough matchup for Oklahoma State.
All the coaches seem to have come with the same comeback now. Everybody can pitch, and pretty much everybody can play defense, and so it's who's going to hit the ball a little bit better that is going to continue to advance. There's nobody that bats 330 as a team anymore. Who do you like offensively in this series?
I like Ole Miss. I mean, honestly, I think that the last first-round game, Virginia-Ole Miss, from an offensive standpoint, is going to be probably the two best offenses in Omaha. Now, both will show you, you know, Virginia's got a 230 team ERA, and Ole Miss has pitched really, really well, too. So both will pitch and both will defend. But from just a offensive numbers over the course of the year and then talent level of guys offensively on the club, I think those are the two that probably stick out the most. Ole Miss was probably the most offensive team outside of Kentucky in the SEC this year, and Kentucky was one of the most offensive teams in the country. So, but that being said, you know, the regional was at Ole Miss, which is a fair ballpark, but it'll trend a little bit more offensive. And then the Super was at Louisiana Lafayette, and that's definitely an offensive ballpark. So, different mindset, different place that they're showing up to. Virginia is the one that I think their game just kind of fits wherever you take them, just because they're so balanced.
ESPN's Kyle Peterson with us here for just another couple of moments on the Doug and Daddy Show as we preview the College World Series. It seems that most people agree that Virginia, starting the year either one or two, there's so many polls out there, and now they're the top national seed that remains, is the best team in Omaha. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do think. I mean, I thought it was they and Oregon State, and then when I saw a little bit more of Oregon State, I think that Virginia is a lot more offensive, and from a pitching standpoint, matched up pretty favorably, at least close to equal with Oregon State. So, yeah, I think that the best overall team and the most well-rounded team is Virginia, and you know, I think that a lot of us have thought that since day one this year. I mean, they were preseason and won in a few polls, not all of them. And fought through, you know, losing one of their best hitters and a kid that went really high in the draft, and Derek Fisher. He's now back, so their offense is 100%. There's power. There's some speed. Defensively, they've been really good. You know, there's some veteran guys that have been around for a while, and then you always need a surprise or two, and Kirby's been that guy that's kind of come out of nowhere. So it's a really good mix. And, yeah, from a talent standpoint, I think Virginia's the most talented team.
And, Kyle, three Big 12 schools, all obviously from the state of Texas, make it to Omaha. Who's got the best chance to go deep in this tournament?
Wow. You know, I don't know. What's interesting is, I mean, so you got TCU who, same thing, can kind of do a little bit of everything. But their 1-2 is really, really good. And I think the TCU can probably take advantage of the way that the format sets up in Omaha, to where you play a game day off, play a game day off. And I guess there's potential that they don't get a day off after the second, but if they win the first two, then they're in an ideal spot. And they've got a closer in Farrell that can go deep. So I'd probably say TCU. Texas Tech is intriguing to me because they got through regionals and supers really pitching and not hitting. I mean, go 1-0, 1-0 games in the super. Yet you look at their offense, and statistically, it was the best offense in the Big 12 all year. So, you know, there's an argument to be made for TCU or for Texas Tech, and say, well, I mean, there's balance. I mean, you've won two different ways. Texas, to me, is the one that you look at and say they're really built for the park. It's similar to what UCLA was last year, to where they're going to pitch, defend, and hit enough. So if I had to pick one, I still think I'd take TCU. But it wouldn't surprise me if any one of the three still playing here in a week and a half.
And, Kyle, as we go through the CWS and fans watch and attend more and more of these baseball games, there's always a storyline that we had no idea about. Is there something that we need to know about going into this weekend about a particular player, a particular team, an interesting story to watch that that you've picked up on?
Oh, no. I mean, we'll kind of ferret itself out a little bit during the course of the week. The one that I think is intriguing, it's the first game, is just – you got Augie Garrido and Mike Gillespie going head-to-head again. And two guys that went head-to-head a lot when Gillespie was at SC and Augie was at Fullerton. And both obviously have had their share of success. But it's good to see, you know, Mike Gillespie was at SC when I was at Stanford, so we went head-to-head with him all the time. In the most respectful way possible, I couldn't stand him. he was really, really good. And they were really tough. And so to see him go and really get a raw deal, in my opinion, at SC when he left, and then to get back here with Irvine and be the third in an interesting run. I mean, you had Savage and then Serrano, and now Mike Gillespie is the head coach at Irvine. It's a pretty good run. But it's neat to see Mike back, and so you've got two coaches in their mid-70s who have seen absolutely everything in this game matching up the first game. That one will be fun.
Finally, Kyle, when we talked to Coach Gillespie earlier this week, we talked about his kids finding out that they're getting drafted during the Super Regional. That used to happen during College World Series week. You've been down that road. You know what it's like to get the call. How much better is it that these kids don't have that distraction this week?
It's better. I mean, you know, it's still tough. We saw kids in the middle of Super Regionals getting drafted during a game.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, there has to be a little bit better way to do it. I know that it has to take place roughly this time of year just because of the way that short season in the minor leagues and everything else matches up. I'd love it if it was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday instead of a Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the kids involved. But, yeah, you know, I got drafted. I was standing on the field at Rosenblatt. So it's I don't care what anybody tells you. If the draft is not on your mind, even when you're playing, you're a lot tougher than I am. And it's just you can't put it out. I mean, it's a draft, it's a dream that you've had your entire life. So for the kids that have been drafted, and really those that haven't, it's nice that at least it's over, and now you just go play.
Favorite time of the year, TD Ameritrade in Omaha. College World Series gets underway Saturday. You'll get to see Kyle Peterson's smiling face over the next couple of weeks. And, Kyle, thanks so much for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hopefully we'll get to see you in Omaha.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Kyle Peterson, ESPN analyst, joining us here on today's Doug and Daddy Show, where we are live at Bandits. Don't forget happy hour Sunday through Friday from 4 to 6, and $2 pints, $2 domestic bottles, $2 huge mugs, every 250 huge mugs, $2 domestic bottles, and $2 pints, 4 to 6 during happy hour here at Bandits. American Legion Baseball last night, Kearney Runza defeated Hastings 5.6-2. Hastings Johnson Imperial Juniors rallied from a 7-2 deficit to beat Post 52-12-8 in a rain-shortened game. Kearney 5 points, who's having a very good season, edged Aurora by a score of 4-3. Grand Island Home Federal swept the doubleheader from Norfolk last night, 11-0 and 4-2. Also want to remind you that the Hastings Tribune Volleyball Classic is tonight. I always get to have a little fun over there, MC it, kind of be the PA announcer, and it's not a high school game. It's an all-star game, so we have a little fun with the ladies, a lot of all-staters, a lot of state champions. It's tonight, Lynn Farrell Arena, 7 o'clock. Do you have any tips for me, Steve Anderson?
I used them all up for the Belmont. I don't know why you ask me for any insight anymore. You make it very plain and simple how bad I am. But volleyball, it was an interesting read in the local paper here about Alan Van Cura, got the coach of the year locally out of Hastings St. Cecilia. You know, he won his first go around when I was still working in local radio and TV. He's been around a long time. But the statement that caught my attention, that you just, over the course of a lot of years, things catch up with you and pass you by, that these sports used to be just seasonal in nature, you know, back in my day. And now it's a year-long thing. And I guess that's a marvelous part of evolution? I don't know, but it really forces an athlete, I think, to earlier on in their life make a decision what direction they want to go. And, you know, when so many kids, I use my own as example, don't mature until they're 16, 17, 18-year-olds, really late bloomers, mm-hmm. you really don't know what you've got. But that's the way it is, baby. And enjoy the moment. It sounds like it's going to be a neat affair over there.
Well, that's at Lynn Farrell Arena tonight at 7. And the cool thing is, a lot of these young ladies, which we've watched play in high school, are multi-sport athletes, have done well in multiple sports. Some of the kids from the area, St. Cecilia, will be represented by Morgan Nicola, Hastings High, Brooke Bailey. You've got Danny Most from Giltner, Christy Schwarzenjuber from Bruning-Davenport-Schickley, Alex Meyer from Superior, Madison Kleinschmidt, also from BDS, Brooke Bailey, we talked about her, Carly Bauer from Minden there on the south, on the north, Grand Island Northwest, Aaron Sorhan and Katie Plocky, Ashton Noctigal of Aurora, Wood Rivers, Hope Lambrecht and Kelsey Baugh, Kearney Catholics, Mackenzie Smith and Shayla Connor. So come on out if you want to see some great volleyball tonight, Lynn Farrell Arena at 7 o'clock. And folks, when you think of lawn and landscaping, the only name you need to know is Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Everything you need to keep your lawn looking great all year round. Landscaping with trees, shrubs, rocks, and custom concrete edging, which means you get both style and functionality to your new or existing landscaping. Imagine you can have a yard that looks like you spent hours on it when, in fact, the great gang at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping did it all for you. Serving the Tri-Cities at NebraskaLandscape.com or give them a call, 237-LAWN. Call them today. And don't forget to stop into the nursery located just beside Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney. That's Johnson Lawn and Landscape. When we come back, Ray Maxwell with the All-Star Duel and a lot more from Bandits here in Grand Island on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The 21st Annual Ravetta Tractor Pull will be pulling two nights. That's right, you get two nights of pulling action June 13th starting at 7 and the 14th starting at 5, all in Ann Arbor Park. Featuring the Grand National Outlaw Class, Light Superstock, Super Farm Stock, Pro Stock, Diesel Superstock, Two-Wheel and Four-Wheel Drive Modified, Limited Pro Stock, and Super Unlimited. In a dirt-flinging, engine-roaring, smoking tractor pulling action. See you at Ann Arbor Park June 13th and 14th.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I've never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Doug Duda here for Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. Name two things you hate worse than unreliable internet service. I can't even think of one. Thank goodness we have Prairie iNet. I love these guys. They're local, so if there's ever an issue, you can talk to real people in our country. I called Prairie iNet to handle my internet service because the service is notoriously reliable, they're local, and best of all, Prairie iNet doesn't make you sign a contract ever. What does that say about Prairie iNet? That they don't force you into a contract? You know that they'll work to earn your business every month. You'll love your service with Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. No risk, no contract, and the switch was so easy. One call and their professional team had me surfing in no time. Plus, if you mention my name, you'll get your first month free and a six-month membership to Netflix. What are you waiting for? Call Prairie iNet, your internet provider. 308-535-1858. That's 535-1858.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on from Bandits here in Grand Island, where there are a lot of activities going on this weekend. And if you're out and about in the GI area, whether it's for the All-Star Duel or playing a round of golf at one of the local courses or just need a quick bite to eat, this is the place to be. And that's Bandits, where lunch specials are here every day. They've got a variety of lunch specials, including a giant slice of Sax's Pizza and a soft drink for only $4.99 here at Bandits. Doug Duda, along with Steve Anderson from Fauner Park, joining me on today's program. A quick look at the leaderboard, Steve. We know it's tough to play golf at Pinehurst. You get off to a good start, and Brant Snedeker was 4-under through 80, missed a short putt on 9, then he went bogey, double bogey, bogey, which for me and you, that's okay, but not when you're playing at the Open.
I've heard so many stories about this Pinehurst golf course. It's a jungle if you get off, evidently get off the fairway and into the roughs, and then I hear that they're throwing it back to the old days and tried to make it the way it was in the 30s and the 40s. But have you seen Ricky Fowler's get up this morning?
Yep.
I'm rooting personally for Ricky Fowler for the first time ever. He's not flashing the colors from Oklahoma State, which is a plus in my mind. But he looks like, you know, he just walked in off the boat back in the 1800s from England or somewhere. That's one of the greatest get-ups of all time.
He's got the knickers on today in the tribute to Payne Stewart.
Exactly.
He doesn't have the hat like Payne Stewart or Randy Beanoff wears, but he does have the knickers going today, and he's playing well. He's 1-under through 15. Phil Mickelson has just tapped in for par on 18. He bogeyed 17, so he finishes at even par, two shots off the lead. In the clubhouse at 2-under, Graham McDowell, a former champ, and Kevin Na and Jordan Spieth is 2-under through 16. But we talk all week about the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel, which gets underway Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we are pleased to be joined by Ray Maxwell, West Point Beamer, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Coach, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Well, we're getting ready for all the activities that are going to be going on this weekend, and I want to start because we make a big deal, and Norm Manstead at the Hall of Fame banquet always makes a big deal to the folks that are there, but this All-Star Duel does a little bit more than a lot of the other All-Star get-togethers, whether it's sanctioned by an organization or not. You guys are out touring the Armory right now, but you'll go and volunteer tomorrow. The kids are doing more than just practice, and you keep them busy here. Can you tell us what all they'll be doing besides wrestling?
Yeah, like you said, they're doing a lot of different activities. Like now we're out at the Armory going through tours of helicopter facilities and everything out here. Went up bowling with them last night. We'll go to the shooting range tonight. They'll do some volunteer work tomorrow, go to the water park in the afternoon, the evening. We'll end up going to a movie tomorrow night. Basically, you just try to keep you guys busy with a lot of different activities. Want to pay back a little bit to the community, so we're doing a lot of work at like Hope Harbor and YMCA tomorrow, and we'll do some activities at different places here in town. That basically, just to help people out of things that they're doing, maybe don't have the manpower to get it done, need some extra hands, and these guys are some of the top athletes in the state, so they get an opportunity to pay back a little bit to the community in this regard, because Grand Island's been exceptionally welcoming to this event that we've had now for, I think this is the fourth year here in Grand Island, so it's just an opportunity for these kids to pay back a little bit and pay respect and give wrestling a good name, that these guys are more than just athletes. They're citizens that want to make a difference in the world.
And this event definitely has matured. As Ray said, it used to move around from town to town, and you had to find a spot to practice during the week. Now it's a 3-4-day event. And Steve Anderson is my co-host here today. Steve, I'll put you on the spot. They're full this year, but could we work in some mini golf next year?
You know, this is so far been a real slow time of the year. I hate to admit that. We've got plenty of room if you're looking for another activity, right, to handle your bunch quite nicely. In fact, if you want to come over in about 15 minutes, the course is all yours.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of the coaches would be there. Some of the kids are probably pretty green at that regard.
And
but the coaches have been watering their mouths every time they go by a golf course here, especially today with the weather so beautiful.
I'm always concerned when you put anything in a wrestler's hand, golf club, basketball, sometimes it's a little funny. But, Ray, let's talk a little bit about the duel out there. And we bring this up every year with the coaches as well. It's impossible to get every wrestler that you would like to have there. We had the beneficiary or had the fortunate to have all these four-time state champions this year. It's right. Tough to get your weight for one or two matches or to even be in the area anymore because a lot of these kids are traveling. Now, Will Shaney will be here, and that's really
right.
Cool. And I know it's a continuing struggle to try and get the best wrestlers here. Is there anything that has changed in how you're addressing that, and how's that process going?
Right now, we turn it over to the coaches. As I coordinated this year, I tried to get the coaches to basically, I gave them every state placer that was a graduated senior in the state. And we also went out and I made an extra sheet that had all the state qualifiers, so they had some depth to go through. We had a draft early. This has also changed. It used to be the East-West All-Star Duel. Now it's the Red-Blue. Basically, we just take the entire state. One team picks first. The next weight class, the next team picks first. And they choose kids back and forth. But we basically have gone through every possible avenue we could possibly go through to get the best wrestlers here. Like you said, some of them have college requirements that the coaches won't let them wrestle, or they've already been enrolled, and because of requirements, they can't be here. Some of them are just done with wrestling. They finished their career at the state tournament or state dual tournament and decided that that's all they really wanted to do. Some of them are injured right now. We've had two kids that we really wanted to have, but they had some injuries that kept them from being here. So I think we've got a procedure right now with the coaches basically getting their teams together on their own, and that way they constantly address coaches that they know of. We got email addresses to coaches and contact with coaches before school ever gets out, so they're still in school. You still have contact with the kids, and we just try to get the best ones we can, and I think I've expanded every avenue I possibly can to get the best kids here we can.
Well, I know there's a lot of good kids, not only from our listening area, but from across the state. We're talking with West Point Beamer's Ray Maxwell. And with this draft, Ray, I would imagine that that might even set up more interesting matchups because East and West, sometimes the weights just don't match up. Are there a couple that you're looking forward to right off the top of your head?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of rematches. I would like to really see Dakota Badenhorst and Devin Uccio from Alliance, Badenhorst from Madison. And Uccio from Alliance, I think that's going to be a great match. I think they saw each other earlier this year at the Schuyler tournament. That's one I know for sure. There's some Class A matchups that I'm a Class B coach, and I don't see a lot of the Class A competition, and I'm not sure exactly how all those kids matched up. But there can be some rematches of some kids that have wrestled during the year, and they get to see each other. And so that's something that's always great to see. Like you said, we still have the kids we have 38 kids out here this week, and I think we're combined to somewhere around 1,500 wins out of those kids. Wow. So, you know, that's a lot of wins under these kids' belts.
That's an outstanding array and some great resumes out there for these young men. We talked about some of the newness. Is there anything else, Ray, that fans need to know if they're going to come out and watch the duels on Saturday?
Just make sure you arrive, support the kids, cheer them on for all that things. I know we are having a raffle that goes along with it. Norm talked about having a raffle where you come out and you buy three tickets for the banquet raffle that we're having that evening. Then you get a program free. So that's something a little bit different we're trying to do. We're always looking for sponsors to sponsor different events because each one of these things, we end up, you know, meals to cover these kids, motel rooms, stuff like that. That's all raised by the coach association, and the kids have to have some sponsor fee as well, but there's always finances to meet on it. So there's a lot of different things we're trying to do, trying to get different sponsors, trying to get different people that are interested in supporting this effort. But the best thing, like I said, is you want to see some fantastic matchups. Come out to Grand Island High School 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and you'll watch some of the best matches you'll see other than maybe the state meet.
Now, Ray, I want to run this by you because you guys have put this draft together for the first time. As we talked about, it could be a lot more evenly contested duel here. There's a chance that we could have a tie. Is there any thought that the tiebreaker could be matchup between the coaches?
We've talked about that jokingly. No one has ever pursued that as a serious option, though.
Well, at the risk of heart attacks, they would have to be 32nd round. So
they could probably all have a good first move, and then beyond that, it's up in the air.
Well, Ray, we know you're in the middle of enjoying the day today, and we look forward to seeing you guys on Saturday. So thanks for giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck, and enjoy the rest of the week.
You bet. Thank you very much.
You met Ray Maxwell from West Point Beamer, one of the organizers of the annual Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel. Steve, just another event that Grand Island does a great job with.
Yeah, and gosh, I'll probably just walk across the alley. I live that close to Grand Island Senior High School. If the ponies weren't running on Saturday, I'd seriously consider going. It sounds like a terrific event. And again, there's so much stuff going on. I don't envy parents in this day and age having to get their kids to all the activities, but I think it's terrific. The more the merrier. These organized events are very special times in kids' and adults' lives, and it's nice to see that Grand Island, with all the great facilities we have out at Fonter, the State Fair, has really kind of become a hub in outstate Nebraska to bring these kinds of things in.
Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. At Bandits today, we're going to be making a variety of Doug and Daddy stops throughout the summer over here at Bandits and enjoying everything that is going on. Coming up, we're still going to chat with Coach Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger. Then it is in to U.S. Open coverage right after the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. But we've got Tim sliding on in here before he gets back in that kitchen and gets after it. Now, Timmy, I know how these things go. You're looking good after the Bandits golf tournament this past weekend. How'd it go?
It went well. It took me a couple of days to recover from it, but, yeah, it went very well. So had a good turnout. Had about 25 teams, four-man teams, 100 golfers. So had a really good tournament. I mean, had good flag prizes. Had Tri-City Cycle Works sponsored a hole-in-one.
Cool.
Which unfortunately, nobody won, but that would have been nice. But would have got them a jet ski or possibly a motorcycle. That's the third year they've done it, so I really appreciate it. So.
Well, the big thing is everybody survived, right?
They did.
That's always the key with a weekend golf tournament, no matter where it's at. Great to be back here, and it's a busy time of the year. I mean, we've got NBA and NHL still going on. The U.S. opens this afternoon. I know Grand Island's got a lot of soccer fans. College World Series this weekend. So anytime, even if you're just running around with the kids.
The NHL.
Come on in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. We'll have... we've got the U.S. Open mixed channel going on. That's on for DirecTV. So got the featured groups, or it's a nice little got the little leaderboard on there, and or you can just watch the regular coverage. We got all the soccer, and we'll have everything on TV. So
Timmy, I also had to bring this up. We got through the last Doug and Daddy Show at Bandits because again, Keno is here, and that's always a lot of fun. And we got through it without me swearing on the air. But my numbers have already hit twice today, and luckily that was during breaks. But you can always have fun. Keno, and it might take care of your whole tab.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not allowed to gamble since I have the license, but my birthday always comes up. I see it all the time. It's just...
Always notice
sick.
It when it's up, right?
Yeah.
We got some great lunch specials. We've been telling them about Sax's Pizza and the wings and the new flavors that you've got going on here for lunch. It's wing night tonight. What else we got going on special here?
Well, I know you mentioned the band earlier on the 26th, the Evan Scott Trio. They're a real good band out of Omaha. The Evan Mendick, he's actually a local guy, but he lives in Omaha now. But they're a really good band. They played here before. So this weekend, we're going to – try open up the bar out in the beer garden on Saturday, so Saturday night. So come on out. We've got during the day we do a bucket special, and we've got the wings. We run the wing special during the day on Saturday, and then on Sunday we do the you can get a large pizza, a dozen wings, a pitcher of beer for $20. So you can come watch all the sports there, and
always
enjoy the air conditioning. We've got the TVs in the beer garden.
Always something going on. Of course, happy hour 4 to 6, $2 pints and domestic bottles, 250 big old mugs here at Bandits. Doesn't matter what you're doing. There's a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to need to take a break from some of it and enjoy it here.
It's going to be a great weekend for
sports. Should be beautiful weather too, right?
Yeah, they're calling for it, so hopefully it is. So.
Well, I appreciate you having us over for the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll be back again in a couple of weeks to see how all this that's going on now turned out.
Yeah. That'll be good. That'll be good. I appreciate you guys doing it. So.
Get back to work.
I will. I got some customers. You got to go cook some food.
I know. So. I've seen you. Thanks, Timmy.
You bet. Thank you.
Timmy from Bandits here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I will say this. When I walked in early before the show, just like everything, when you arrive at work, you just kind of sit down. You're going over the paperwork. You're planning your day. But since we've been on the air, that's the first time I've seen his feet stop, Steve. That's the first time he stopped. He's been buzzing around here the whole hour, and folks starting to roll in for lunch.
It takes a certain temperament and a certain attitude to run these kinds of places. Tim fills the bill nicely. Has yet to prove to me that he can maintain that pace over a long, long period of time. But he's got a great start on things, and this is a terrific venue. You guys never talk about TVG being one of the channels up there. Now, here's my kind of a day. You go out to Fauner Park and take advantage of advanced wagering, bet a few of these tracks, and then come over here and watch everything unfold, not only with the horses, because TVG's here, but with all the other events going on as well. So this is a great alternative if you can't make it to the races.
It's all right here. You can watch whatever you want to watch. If it's not on, they'll put it on for you. We are here at Bandits in Grand Island. We've got one more segment, and then on to U.S. Open golf. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fauner Park.
Let's do lunch today at Fauner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. How about a delicious Kino Club or Heartland Steak Sandwich with choice of fries, soup, or dinner salad? Complete bar service, too. And you can play Keno and wager on coast-to-coast racing from 14 top tracks. Non-stop action from 11:30 a.m. Stay over for night racing at the Finish Line, Grand Island, number one for food and fun.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
New socks? New ties? Well, what about golf?
Yee-haw!
What a better way to celebrate your dad this year than a nice game of golf at the Gibbon Valley View Municipal Golf Course in Gibbon. Call today to reserve your spot and cart for this three-person scramble. They will be offering lunch and golf for three this Sunday with flag prizes and carts available for a fee. So call today and treat dad to a golf and lunch at the Gibbon Valley View Municipal Golf Course starting at 10 a.m. in Gibbon. Happy Father's Day.
It's that time again to dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 13th annual Faces Rally, June 13th through the 15th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, bike show, bike games, hog roast, the band Area 52, vendors, and other activities. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 13th annual Faces Rally in Upland, June 13th through the 15th. Don't miss out. Brought to you by Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Pioneer Seeds, Doug Bolt, Upland, and J&S Recycling, John Klein Upland.
Doug and Daddy Show back here at Bandits in Grand Island, and we are glad to have you with us for the final segment. I want to thank Kyle Peterson, ESPN, Wayne Anderson, who has been a part of horse racing in Nebraska for a number of years, well, his whole darn life. And, of course, Ray Maxwell with the Coaches Association All-Star Duel. That's in Grand Island. The Nebraska Danger, and, of course, Steve Anderson co-hosting with me again today here at Bandits in Grand Island, where we've got one eye on TVG, one eye on the U.S. Open, and no eyes on anything else that's going on around here. So
It's early. It's early.
Well, the Nebraska Danger are getting out of town to take on Texas this weekend. Coach Davis joining us here in our final segment live at Bandits. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm getting along. Again, my score is way higher than anything that you post out there. But let's not talk about your golf game and getting a ball stuck in a tree in a tournament and losing by one stroke. There, that took care of the whole story right there. So I want to talk a little bit about the Danger, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I probably should have asked you this off the air. Got beat by Colorado. Then you have an off week. You're in the playoffs. You're going to Texas. I know once you step on the field, you want to win the game, but does this mean anything?
It does if something America would happen and Cedar Rapids would upset Sioux Falls in the first round, because that means we would host
okay
for the championship. So, you know, with a 24-man roster, you can't really sit guys. You know, you dress 20, you get 4 inactive, and we have 3 hurt. So we are going in with – we're as healthy as we – the guys that are hurt, we're not starters. So we're as healthy as we've been since game one going into Texas.
And that kind of leads me into my next question here. If you're in a game that doesn't mean a lot, but as you said, you don't have 49 guys, 48 guys suited up here, have you brought anybody else in? Do you rest anybody? What's your approach going into this?
We had a couple guys hurt. We brought in a new DB. His name is Isaiah Scott from Mount Union. Good player, played in the league, played 4 or 5 games for Cedar Rapids this year until they got their veterans back. And then I just signed Justin Edison. He's a defensive tackle from UCLA, 6'5", 270, our whole team together offensively. And then defensively, just to shore up a few holes that we have. You know, we got to continue to get pressure. You know, we lead the league in sacks, so that hasn't been a problem all year. But they come in spurts. Like, we're not consistent from start to finish. And then in the secondary, I mean, we just got –
because that's where I get 90% of my information. I'm still old school. And read this story about O.J., and then I go out to the mailbox, get my Sports Illustrated yesterday, and the big article in the middle of that is 20 years after the fact about O.J. Simpson and the infamous Bronco chase in Southern California. But you got to use this stuff to your advantage, Coach, and play off of that name. I don't know how you do it, but what a great storyline.
Yeah, I've known O.J. for 5 years, I think, and great player. And he was in Kansas City, and him and the quarterback were playing with the beef, and they weren't really happy. And we needed a receiver, and OJ knew the system, the exact same number system that they ran in Omaha. And he's like, "Coach," I was like, "I need a receiver. You can come up and practice, kind of like my two guys from Omaha, come up and practice Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, go back to Kansas City and be ready for that, because Thursday is a special teams practice for us." He's a true professional. I mean, the kid is 5'6", 200 pounds, and he's explosive and just brings that hard-nosed aggression to our offense.
An old man by your standards?
I mean, he's younger than me, of course, but he's not – he's 28, I think, 27.
Well, I thought it was 33 or 34. You know, I get confused at my age.
He might be. I really don't know. Like, if he's 35.
Well, he's been around a long time because he wants one more ring. You got to get him the ring, Coach.
Yeah, when we were in Omaha, we had a chance. He was on the team that we beat Sioux Falls the last time they lost at home 5 years ago.
Oh, my.
And then we've been to the championship twice together and have come up short, both because of injuries to our quarterback early in the game. And so – it's always nice to go out on top.
We're talking for another minute here. He should be able, by the way, get you a good deal on a rental car. Anyway, Mike Davis with us. Maybe Hertz or something. Mike Davis, Nebraska Danger. I saw that it went right over his head. Steve got it, and Mike went, What are you talking about?
He's not old enough, yeah, I swear.
No, I'm definitely not going to comment on that.
little kid. You're totally, for the most part, focused on the playoffs. Is everything for the fans out there? Is everything – you mentioned you could get home, but are the teams all set? How's that looking?
Yeah, I mean, it's Sioux Falls. Cedar Rapids is going to Sioux Falls in the first round, and we're going to Colorado next Thursday. So we'll play Thursday and come back and then probably go to Sioux Falls and scout. You know, being that we win, go up there and scout the game on Saturday to get ready to play them the following Saturday.
Short. Well, that's another thing. You got a short turnaround, which could – if you win, help you with a little bit more time in between. What's up with the Thursday game?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is they didn't think they were going to get home field advantage, so they gave up their weekend date, and then their arena filled it. So the only date they had was to play on Thursday or Monday, and they wanted it, they chose Thursday. But for them, they play in Tri-City, Washington this weekend on Saturday. So they have a brutal trip to go out, play, and then come back.
We, for the first couple of years, talked about getting the franchise to be competitive. That's not even a thought anymore. It is competitive. At the beginning of the year, you said, and the players said, we're in it for the ring. Are you where you want to be at this point, even though your record doesn't match a couple of the teams in the other division?
Yeah, you know, I don't really worry about records, honestly. Like, we're making the playoffs, and, I mean, that's the same thing. The Giants, 4 years ago, they had a barely over a 500 record, and they won the championship. So I want to make sure that we go into Texas and we execute and get some of the things ready for Colorado. And when we do that, we'll be peaking just at the right time. Like, we haven't played our best football yet. We haven't played our best football game. Maybe one game against Tri-Cities when we beat them 77-35 or whatever. That was probably our most polished game, and Jamil only played the first half.
Of course, now the big question, did you cash a ticket on the Belmont?
I did.
Wow. You had the winner?
I did.
I don't even listen to our own. Why don't I go with the guys on our show?
I did too, Doug. Do you not listen to the folks that you interview? I mean, it's a two-way street here.
Everybody keeps coming up to me saying, I hit because of what Gino and what Joe and what Michelle are saying on your radio show, and I'm over here just going, what am I doing? What am I doing?
The worst part about it, I should have had – like, I love Metal Count, and Zach Mader was – he loved Commissioner. And we were all sitting together and like, let's just play the try and the super.
Don't tell me you didn't.
I didn't. I played the super, but I threw out Commissioner.
Oh, my gosh.
I threw in Commanding Curve instead.
Those payoffs were huge. But speaking of payoffs and odds, I assume going into Texas in next week, Coach Davis, if they were to put a point spread on it, that you're going to be, a mild underdog? How do you assess the situation to those of us on the outside looking in?
To going to Colorado or going this week to Texas?
Let's take one game at a time. Colorado first.
I mean, I'd say we're a slight underdog because we got to play up there. I mean, you know, they're not going to have – I mean, it's going to be – there'll be no fans there. There'll be 1,500 people there if they're lucky. And so it's – I mean, which is fine. I mean, it's less crowd noise for us. But, you know, we're fortunate enough to get through that. Then – we'll give Sioux Falls a run for their money. I mean, we match up well enough.
Road trip?
And then there's a lot of people going, already talking about it if we make it.
Well, that'll be awesome.
I know, like, the Harneys, and they all took their RVs up there, and they grilled. I mean, there was probably 250 people, I think, last year that grilled out. And
Daryl Wilhelmy, I would assume, would be in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl's a great he sets up things outside. That's what I don't understand. We want to tailgate at Fonder. How do we change this? You have to bring a little bit. You have to bring the sides together.
Well, folks, we're ready to wrap up the show way over time, but we've had a great guest list today, and Coach, we'll talk to you again at playoff time. So have a safe trip down to Texas, and bring me back some Cowboys gear, would you?
Do you really? Are you not a Cowboys fan?
Oh yeah, baby.
I can't come on the show anymore.
Steve, as always, can't wait to see you at the races and playing a little mini golf too.
Yeah, the course is wide open as we speak, and hopefully when you come back, the invitation's still out there. I'd love to join you again. This is fun.
I shall bother you yet again.
Thank you very much.
That's going to wrap things up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The U.S. Open is coming up next. Again, we want to thank all of our guests, ESPN analyst Kyle Peterson, Nebraska Danger head coach Mike Davis, Ray Maxwell with the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association, the head coach up at West Point Beamer, previewing this weekend's All-Star Duel here in Grand Island. Also to Wayne Anderson, one of the great horsemen in the state of Nebraska as well. Tomorrow on the show, I've got a variety of irons in the fire. I believe we're going to have Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay. We're going to be talking with one of the analysts on Virginia baseball, more on the College World Series, and I'm sure, Jeffrey, I forgot somebody that we've got on the calendar up there. Is there anything you would like to add to the show today?
I don't think so, Doug. I think we're ready to go.
That's why they make him the best producer in the business. He's quick, he's done, he's over. That's the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks to Tim and the gang here at Bandits again. Stop in. It's wing night tonight. Have a great lunch anytime here at Bandits. Saks' Pizza, Hoagies, Wings, and so much more to their expanded menu. And we will be back here in a couple of weeks with more from Bandits.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew.
Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game